Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you on the afternoon drive. And, well, I tell you, today's Tuesday edition of the show seems like Christmas almost. We get Game 1 of the World Series tonight between the Washington Nationals and the Houston Astros. We have to talk more Major League Baseball. I know we did yesterday. We brought in Steve Bordstein, a great friend of mine, great friend of the show. Love getting his perspective. But today we're also going to talk to Bill Lasky, former Major League pitcher. He has joined us every week throughout the season. We're going in like week 30. Bill has been a consistent source for us here on Drive Time Sports. And now that we're to the World Series, I want to get his perspective. Former big league pitcher, and that's what interests me most about this World Series, the pitching matchups, right? Because as far as the Houston Astros are concerned, this is a team that went all in on pitching when they acquired Zach Greinke. I mean, as far as the AL Cy Young is concerned, I believe they have one and two in Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander. And then you take a look at the Washington Nationals. Steven Strasburg, Max Scherzer, who I believe is the best pitcher in the world. And you also have Patrick Corbin, plus Anibal Sanchez. And to me, Sanchez is the X factor in this series because we haven't really talked a lot about him, and he has been dynamic for the Washington Nationals. So we will talk Major League Baseball. That's coming up next segment here on the show. Also, it's opening night in the NBA. And, you know, the first game, which will take place in Toronto at 6 p.m., it's banner night for the Raptors as they go toe-to-toe with the Pelicans. It takes a little bit of a hit in the form of intrigue with the news that broke yesterday that Zion Williamson, the standout number one pick that we have heard so much about, rightfully so, will be out for at least 8 weeks following surgery to repair his meniscus. Very sad to hear this. Because Zion is a kid that I'm really rooting for. In 4 preseason games, he averaged 23 points and 6.5 rebounds. And I want to talk about this because I want you to think of this for a moment. Zion is being compared to LeBron James, not from what he has accomplished on the court, but from just a physical appearance. He's a freak of nature. I think that's a term that gets used too frequently in sports, freak of nature. But look, Zion's a freak of nature. LeBron James was a freak of nature. Even by LeBron standards, we have never seen a kid this age with this amount of size, who is this fast, who can leap, and who can play the game of basketball the way Zion can. But Zion's already encountered a couple of injuries. Should you be worried if you're a Pelicans fan? I think maybe so. I mean, he had injury problems at Duke. Now we're talking about a torn meniscus right now. Again, he's only going to be out 2 months. And I think this Pelicans team is still very good without Zion. I mean, they made the move for Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart. They signed Derek Favors. They went out and they got J.J. Redick. I mean, I think when we look at what this team has, very talented squad, much better this year than they were last year, which is fairly amazing considering David Griffin had to trade, well, arguably the best player in its franchise's history, and Anthony Davis, and rarely do you get a haul like the Pelicans got for one superstar. So while this game, it does, you know, it's not as intriguing as it was, say, I don't know, 72 hours ago. I'm still looking forward to it tonight. And I think the Raptors are still going to be a pretty good basketball team. Are they going to repeat as champions? No, there's no way they're going to repeat as champions. But nonetheless, I still think they're a pretty good basketball team. Also tonight, game two of that doubleheader, the Los Angeles Lakers and the Los Angeles Clippers will battle at Staples Center. And no Paul George tonight for the Clippers. The Lakers will be without Kyle Kuzma. But it's LeBron versus Kawhi in the Battle of L.A. I can't wait for this. Plus, we get to see Anthony Davis in a Laker uniform. So it's opening night of the NBA. There is so much to talk about on the national sports front. And, of course, we'll talk some local sports as well. We'll give you a recap as the all-academic fall team sports have been named. And I'll tell you, the athletes here in the local area did not disappoint. So we'll get to that in just a few moments as well. We might as well give you a quick recap. If you missed the Monday Night Football game last night, boy, you didn't miss a whole lot as the New England Patriots just dominated the New York Jets in this contest, 33-0. I'm not going to call Travis out. Last week, he guaranteed a Jets victory over the Patriots. I don't know why, but he felt fairly confident on it. Hey, look, I give him credit. The Jets look different with Sam Darnold. They looked different with Sam Darnold just a little over a week ago, but I'll tell you what, this Patriots defense is very, very good. I don't even think the offense is that spectacular, but they forced four turnovers, four interceptions by Sam Darnold and the Jets, plus a strip sack. They had a safety. It was just a bad night for the Jets. Week 7 of the NFL is now complete. Tomorrow, we'll talk NFL football. Today, though, I want to save it for baseball. I also want to talk some NBA basketball because that's the big story of what is up and coming. It's going to be a fun night. It's going to be a fun Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports. Coming up with us, we're going to be joined again by Bill Lasky. Plus, we'll catch you up with a good friend of mine, Jabari Davis, who works for Hoops Magazine. He does the podcast Hot Takes and Shot Fakes. We'll talk NBA basketball opening night. It's all coming up on this Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports right here on 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM.
Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now a 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball! Deep to left field! Way, way back! It's gone!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. Feeling like a bullet,
jumping at a gun. I'm feeling like a winner. We've got to talk more Major League Baseball because, of course, tonight we got Game 1 of the World Series. It's Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM, live from the Auto Farm Studios. And joining us over the phone to talk some Major League Baseball, we have Bill Lasky, kind enough to join us each week. Bill, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. Thank you again for the time today.
Well, let's talk about this time of the year. We always talk about it every year. And the final seven games of the season, you got your top-notch winners on both sides and are going to go head-to-head. And it's going to be a fun World Series, seeing the Nationals the first time they've ever been there, and the Astros, who are trying to regain that power of being number one when Boston took it away from them last year.
Well, Bill, let's start by talking about the Nationals, because if we go back to our beginning playoff segment, you weren't sold on the Dodgers getting to the World Series. Now, I know that doesn't necessarily mean that you didn't believe the Dodgers were the best team. You were just talking about who was playing the best baseball. So my first question to you, is there any doubt in your mind that the Astros are playing, or excuse me, that the Nationals are playing better baseball than everyone in the league right now?
Well, I believe so, and everything's clicking. I think Dave Martinez did a great job with a pitching staff. I think by bringing Strasburg in to middle parts of the game, to the end of the game, I thought some of the unique things he used with his pitching staff was genius, and it worked. And they're hitting hell out of the ball. You know, when you're looking at Hendricks, what is he, 34 years old, and he's having the best time of his career and coming at the right time. But I still believe when you look at Washington, it all comes down to starting pitching, and they have the top four in my eyes in baseball.
Yeah, you know, and it's the I guess we could say, unsung hero I'm gonna throw that out there to Anibal Sanchez, because we haven't talked a lot about him all season long. We were talking about Strasburg, Scherzer, and Corbin, but Sanchez has been really, really good this postseason, Bill, and he's still not getting a whole lot of pub.
He is, and I tell you what, I was talking about it the other day here in a crossfire about pitching, and I said there's no way an analytics works for him, because everything changes. He's moving the ball. He's old-style pitching. A pitcher that uses all his pitches, and he's even got a 74-mile-an-hour changeup. I mean, he's really just taking the sting out of the bats when he's out there, and why not throw him out there with those top three pitchers you just threw? A total different style of pitcher, and he fits the four-hole perfectly.
So let me ask you this. I'm going to put the manager cap on Bill Lasky for a moment. If you're Dave Martinez, how do you handle your pitching rotation in the World Series? How would you handle it? And let's assume it's not going seven games. I mean, on a game-by-game basis, in an ideal world, how would you handle this?
Well, I think it's so important now, especially with Houston being the home team, you have to win at home. And so you have to go right at them head-to-head, just like what they're doing tonight with Scherzer and Cole. Those were the matchup that I wanted to see in game one when you started finding out who was playing. That's why I was glad Houston did beat New York, so you set up all these pitching matchups. Because you know me, my friend, I'm a pitcher. I love watching pitchers. And these, I believe, are some of the top pitchers in baseball. And they're going to go head-to-head. And we're going to see about analytics. We're going to see about the ball and seeing if the ball's jumping anymore. It sure sounds like they took it out of the playoffs, different ball. And I just think this is going to be a matchup Washington is favored with their starting pitching. And I think they're just a little bit better than Houston right now.
Again, right now we're being joined by Bill Lasky as we talk about the World Series. And again, the odds makers, maybe they don't like the Washington Nationals in this series, but I want to stick with the Nats here for just a minute longer. With someone that's around the game as you are, Bill, in fact, you call games or you're an analyst for the San Francisco Giants, and you've had the pleasure of being associated with a team that has a Hall of Fame manager. And so when we talk about Dave Martinez, it wasn't that long ago you and I were having a conversation about should this guy even keep his job? That was a legitimate conversation.
It sure was. I think you and I pegged him as first manager to get fired this year. You know, we were looking at that first quarter of the year, not even the third, and they just came out and they stunk. And boy, the second half, they just took off. But Dave Martinez is the kind of guy, looks like he rallies his troops. You know, the hard issues that everybody keeps talking about, you know, this team's, you know, laughing about it, joking about it. They love this guy. And I'm glad, because Dave's a lifetime baseballer. You know, he's been around a long time, assistant coach, bench coach. And you know, he's got his opportunities now with Washington, and the players and him are finally getting that get over the edge thing. So they believe in each other now. And that's huge when you start going into the finals, because you and I both, it's a microscope, every move you make, why did you do it? And you have to answer it 100 times after. So he's going to really look to see how he's going to do it with these starters, if he's going to go lengthy with them and maybe not much in a bullpen. And once the first three games over, is he going to shorten the game now and bring one of them back to win game five or game six if he has to? So we're going to see all four of them. There's no doubt. They've already announced it. Those are the four they're going with. And they're going to live and die with them, and they probably believe they're going to win two out of two of those. And then they have Scherzer and, you know, the back two to finish it off.
Bill, let's jump over and talk about the Houston Astros. It's a team that did go all in at the deadline. We've talked a lot about the Zach Greinke deal. Greinke has probably been the weak link in this pitching rotation, which is really saying something. When you take a look at the Houston Astros tit-for-tat rotation against rotation, you like Washington more. Why is that?
Well, I look at Verlander struggles in the postseason, and he didn't throw well at all against the Yankees, and he's thrown a lot of innings again this year, a lot of quality innings. I just look at the nature of the beast. He really has not thrown well in the postseason, and if he doesn't come up big, they lose, because you can't just count on Greinke and a bullpen. I just think that's where Washington might win game two, game three. I think Greinke has struggled also. He hasn't been to the form that he was back in Arizona. And I just don't think he's capable of shutting down an attack like the Nationals.
If we talk about what the Nationals can bring to the table offensively and compare to the Astros, boy, we have to talk about the Astros right now. And Jose Altuve, you know, it doesn't matter if it's Correa, if it's Springer. I mean, we could talk about a variety of these offensive weapons. Bregman, tip for tat all the way through the lineup. It would appear that Houston has more options, more devastating options offensively, at least in my mind. But, Bill, I go back to what I said earlier in the week, that 3-4-5 spot for Washington. It's the best in Major League Baseball. I don't think there's any question when you talk Rendon, Soto, and Zimmerman.
If you're looking at lineups, I think Houston's a stronger lineup offensively, no doubt. When you're looking at top eight, and then they have to get rid of the DH, which really didn't help them at all. The DH didn't do anything, the young kid. And I just look at the Houston lineup a little stronger than Washington. But as you go 3-4-5, I think that's where the power numbers are going to gel. Those guys have really driven a lot of runs in, a couple home runs, key home runs. So I look at that. But I also look at Houston. Houston's got a tough lineup. Don't get me wrong. That lineup can put up 5-6 runs in no time. But I look at Washington's pitching. I think Washington can slow them down. That's why I'm going with the underdog in this series. I am taking the Nationals just because of that starting pitching.
One of the most interesting players to me in this series, it's Juan Soto. Here's a kid that's 20 years old. And when we talk about the big bang in the lineup for the Nationals, he is right in the center of it. He's going to really have to rise to the occasion. I think that's such an interesting aspect to everything. In the analytical world that we live in, there is no saber metric that can account for that particular instance. A 20-year-old kid in the middle of the lineup for the Washington Nationals in the World Series. Bill, I love it.
Oh, I think it's great. I'm just glad they gave him an opportunity that young to come up and be a superstar, because he is. And that's what baseball needs. I love when he takes the pitch, when he looks at the pitcher. I like his little flair. He's got a little moxie in him, but he produces. And he's a good left fielder defensively. I look at that also. You know, everybody looks at offense. He's a damn good left fielder at 20 years old. Sure, there's some balls he misplays, but he's got enough speed to catch them if they're over his head, and he's got a pretty good arm. So I look at both sides of him, and he's really a good quality young player. I'm excited for him. I just don't know what they're going to do with that third baseman, if they're going to try to sign him now or what, because he could easily be the MVP. He's been putting numbers up too.
Yeah, Rendon's going to garner a contract this offseason anywhere from $200 to $250 million. And I see some of these larger market teams that have kind of positioned themselves. He's going to be the big free agent acquisition. And I know you can't really think about that right now, but Bill, as a former player, do those kind of storylines play a factor when we get to postseason baseball? Does that matter?
I think once you get to postseason, you shut it off, because you know your stock is already built through the season. Your stock's already built for being a free agent. Now it's just kind of putting the dressing on, you know, or the frosting on the cake to see, now I can put some postseason numbers up to a contender that may need a third baseman or a DH that could help their club. And I think that's what he's leading on, not the negative, more the positive of, I want to do better.
We did talk about how rare it is to see a team have sustained success over the course of 3 years. Again, everyone knows you have ties to the San Francisco Giants. The Astros are really floating down the same river as, say, the Giants were with Bochy. 3 World Series in 5 years. It's pretty unheard of. Bill, this is a team that is built for long-term success. I don't think the Astros are going anywhere anytime soon. I'm curious as to your thoughts on that, being associated with the Giants and kind of seeing the success that Bochy had over the course of 5 years.
Well, I think Houston is coming on with the analytic part. They took their whole team and put it to ground zero and built it up. And they've also built one of the strongest organizations in the minor league. So this is just the fashion part of it, is when they were in a dump 4 or 5 years ago where they couldn't even get a few thousand people to come to the game. You see what the analytics did. They changed the game, and now all these young players are filling in so well. And Altuve, with the story of him trying out at 16 years old and nobody's thought he was even a player. He had to go home and get his birth date and come back and say, hey, I want to try out, and look at him. He's MVP. You know, there's so many factors in this Houston Astros team. There's so many players that just play so many key roles when he pulls players out, puts a new one in, different positions. That's what Houston's built on. And they're not going away. This team's going to be there forever until these players get a little older. And I don't know how long that's going to be, another 4 or 5 years before we really call them old. So it is a factor looking at this organization and a lot of teams. And I look at the San Francisco Giants now out here. That's what they're trying to formulate an organization and a winning team to be like. So there's no doubt they have given us the red carpet of how to change an organization. It's now taken back and seeing if other organizations can do it also.
Bill, I want to throw a couple of rapid fire questions at you before I get your prediction, so you can tell me if this is true or false, fact or fiction here. The Washington Nationals have to close out this series at home. Is that fact or fiction to you?
True. They have to.
Okay, so they
cannot come back. They cannot come back to Houston. They have to win one of these first two games or take them both.
If we talk about the Nationals once again, true or false, they need to make sure their starter gets at least 7 innings. I know a quality start is 6, but the starters have to go at least 7 innings because of that shoddy bullpen. True or false?
I say true because they're going to have to do that in these first couple games. If they go to the bullpen, they're going to be behind in the series. They won't have enough games to win. I'm going with the fast and furious. They need to come out tomorrow as well as Wednesday and either win 1 or 2. I believe they need to win 2 out of 0.
And then we can end with this one with you being a former pitcher. True or false, the under is going to be 6 runs or less in this series with the pitching that we have going toe-to-toe each game.
I like that. I would take that bet. True.
Bill Lasky, again, former Major League pitcher, now an analyst for the San Francisco Giants. Bill, before I let you go, give me the prediction. How does the World Series go?
Well, I'm going to go Nationals if they come out of the box. If they come out of the box and win 1 or 2 of the first couple games, they're going to win it. If they go down 1 game, 2 games, it's over. They'll get swept. I just think Houston's got offense, but I think on the other side they have the starting pitching. And as an ex-Giant winning 3 World Series out here, you win with starting pitching and offense.
Great stuff as always. Bill, before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Throw me out of Twitter, @Lasky19, but I'm enjoying the World Series starting tomorrow, like you and your listeners. And we'll see. Let me ask you, who are you going after since you've been asking me all these quick questions? Let me hear your version of the World Series.
I agree with you on a lot of things here. I mean, when I look at this Nationals team, they are playing better baseball than anyone right now. I truly believe that. In fact, what they did to the Dodgers, massively impressive. Hell, what they did with the Brewers was massively impressive, getting down to their final few outs. They dominated the St. Louis Cardinals, and the Cardinals had become a staple of consistency over the last month and a half. There's something to be said about that. Baseball, to me, is so much different than any other sport that the team peaking at the right time is the team that you have to roll with. Now, with that being said, I don't believe the Nationals have as much talent as the Astros front to back. But I like, Bill, how you brought up Verlander and his struggles. We've talked about Greinke and his struggles. And look, he was never a postseason pitcher going back to his day with the Dodgers. He was never a postseason pitcher. That leads me to believe that we're going to have a lengthy series. Because Houston has home field, I'm going to go with the Astros. But I think this goes back to the latter part of the series. I think we get a 7-game set here. I'm going to go with Houston in 7.
It could happen that way, and you know what? Like I said, if the Nationals get out quick, if they have some good quick starting pitching the first couple games, my money sways to them. If they can't get this potent offense out quickly, then it's going to be Houston with their offense. So one way or another, we're going to find out, but we'll be tuning in as we carry this next Monday and see where we are with it.
Looking forward to it as always, Bill Lasky. A pleasure. Thank you again for the time.
Have a good time, my friend.
We've got a break for just a moment, but we do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year.
It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Lillard got it! And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trailblazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarini on KOAL 750 AM.
Back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Let's step away from Major League Baseball for just a bit. We got to talk NBA. Tonight, it gets real. We have doubleheader action. The New Orleans Pelicans will take on the Toronto Raptors. I know that marquee matchup has taken a little bit of a hit. We'll talk about that. Plus, we get the Clippers and the Lakers. No Kyle Kuzma, no Paul George, but it still should be a fascinating deal nonetheless. We get to see Anthony Davis in a Laker uniform and Kawhi Leonard in a Clipper uniform. Joining us to talk about that right now, we have a great friend of mine, great friend of the show, Jabari Davis. He's joined us for about 7 or 8 years to talk NBA basketball. And, of course, you can hear him on the Hoops Mags podcast called Hot Takes and Shot Fakes. We'll talk about that show more in just a bit. Jabari, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
My man, Jordan, like you said, it's been years now, like actual years, and I'm grateful each time you invite me on.
I love having you on, that is for sure. And I know as we get set for some action tonight, you're excited. Not only are you a little bit biased towards the Los Angeles Lakers, but of course you're a basketball fan in general. And I'll tell you, Jabari, it's no lie when we say that this season has more unknown than any season, I'm going to say, over the past decade. Like, we really do not know what's going to happen, and that's what I love about it.
Look, I'm going to be completely honest with you. For the past, whether it's a decade or the 5-6 years since the Warriors have been dominant, I will say this. This is the first season that I can say that I'm actively excited about in at least 6-7 years. Like, I'm talking about actively. And yes, part of that has to do with the Lakers. As you mentioned, there's a bias there on my show that, as you were kind enough to mention, I'm called the Hollywood Homer, which I do not care. With the Lakers being in it, in the mix now, and the Clippers all of a sudden being an actual contender, and just the parity across the league, and going into it, the fact that we know it's not just going to be, hey, is Golden State healthy? I'm so excited, so beyond it. I can't wait for these games to start tonight.
I'm ready for it. I'm excited for it. Let's start by talking about the Toronto Raptors. Tonight, it's banner night. They're going to get their rings. Obviously, it's not the offseason that the Toronto Raptors had in mind. No Danny Green, no Kawhi Leonard. But if I take a look at this lineup front to back, Jabari, I'm cautiously optimistic that the Raptors are still going to be highly competitive. Kyle Lowry is still there. Fred VanVleet is still there. Pascal Siakam. We have Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol. It's not as if it's all doom and gloom in Toronto. This is still a very formidable team.
Yeah, no, it should not be remotely doom and gloom. And quite frankly, I think a lot of us, and myself included, at the start of the summer, we were quick to say Toronto's going to be an afterthought. And while I don't necessarily see them as NBA as title contenders or back-to-back contenders, I will say there's a lot of intriguing storylines, and I think that they can at least be a force still in the Eastern Conference for the guys that you mentioned. Also, let's not forget, I would love to see – they're not going to go back-to-back in terms of title, but no, I would love to see them go back-to-back in terms of, say, most improved player. OG Anunoby, that whole run last year, wasn't able to join them. So I would love to see, of course, Siakam take another step. We know what you have in Lowry. You know what you have in Gasol. You know what you have in Ibaka. But I would love to see OG Anunoby take that next step and step up next to Siakam and them be a formidable, a formidable duo. So, the Raptors are very exciting. I'm really excited. Honestly, I'm like a kid in the candy. I'm like a kid on, Christmas Eve just waiting to open the gifts.
No, I'm with you. And again, I think that the Raptors are still going to be a very compelling team. Speaking of compelling teams, we'll get a look at a squad tonight. It's life after Anthony Davis for the New Orleans Pelicans. Now, I know that there's no Zion Williamson, and we will talk about that in just a moment. But again, looking at this lineup front to back, and the fact that they went out and they grabbed J.J. Redick, something that hasn't necessarily been talked about. I believe Redick has been on a playoff team every year of his career, if I remember correctly. I don't think Redick's ever missed the playoffs. On top of that,
at least the last 5 or 6.
Yeah. It's a statistic where this guy has definitely had a lot of success. Lonzo Ball, Drew Holiday. I think this is defensively one of the best backcourts in the NBA. Derek Favors. This is a name that Jazz fans obviously are well aware of. And tonight we get to see him in a different team's uniform without Zion Williamson. What David Griffin was able to do this offseason for the Pelicans, I know we talked about it all offseason, but we finally get to see it on display tonight. And I'm looking forward to this as well because, Jabari, I can't think of the last time a team gave up a superstar. And by superstar, I'm talking a top four or five player in the game. And they brought back a better roster than what they had last season. It doesn't happen.
And that, you know, as you mentioned, that's a testament to what the work that David Griffin did. Like, if you think about it, he hit the ground running because he, as soon as he walks in the door, he's tasked with the unenviable, you know, situation of having to trade the not just a franchise guy, but an a guy that has potential all-time talent in Anthony Davis. So that's never going to be, you know, that's never going to be an exciting conversation to have. But the fact that, and whether I'm biased or not, but, you know, I was always a fan of young guy, you know, that young package of players, that young bevy of players that the Lakers wound up sending his way, you know, obviously on top of the picks. So yeah, as you know, as a guy that's just walking in the door, having to sell, or having to not sell, but, you know, trade your franchise guy, an all-time, you know, type talent, you know, to be able to get, you know, that type of haul back for him. And as you mentioned, signing JJ Redick, signing Derek Favors, being able to not just draft Zion, and of course it's disappointing that we're not going to see him reportedly for the next 6 to 8 weeks, but, you know, not just drafting him, but drafting a guy like Jackson Hayes, drafting a guy like Neil Alexander Walker. You know, he's had a phenomenal offseason, and quite frankly, he was able to, in my estimation, not only set them up for the future very clearly, but also set them up for the here and now. Like, I don't see them as a title contender, but I absolutely see them, if everything goes relatively well and they can stay at, you know, and again, this is knock on wood because availability is the best ability in professional sports in general, but if they can stay relatively healthy, they should be a playoff contender. And, quite frankly, to being able to do that, you know, after trading an Anthony Davis, that's remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable.
Yeah, it's unheard of. Again, Jabari Davis, our guest right now as we talk about the NBA. Now, again, you alluded to Zion Williamson not going to be playing for at least the next 2 months. And Jabari, I could kind of use this as a segue into the next topic, and that'll be the Lakers and the Clippers. Here's Zion, one of the biggest names in the game today already. He hasn't even played a regular season game. And if you go to any playground, there are kids already pretending to be Zion Williamson. His brand just gets bigger and bigger, yet here we are on opening night, and this kid already has more knee operations than LeBron James. Isn't that something?
Yeah, so here's the thing. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but it's part of the concern that I had, you know, even when he was a high school guy, but definitely when he was at Duke, when he had the, you know, the blown out shoe, and then he ended up, you know, kind of like hurting his knee, and they were kind of babying him for a little bit, but then he ended up coming back. Part of the thing is the reason why he's so incredible, and I'm not you know, breaking news here. Like, we have yet to see a guy with that physical, with his physical attributes, be that fast, that strong, be able to jump that high. You know what I mean? I grew up a round mound, a rebound fan. I grew up a Charles Barkley fan. This isn't even the same as that. Like, this guy is truly a physical freak. So, you know, there were always going to be concerns in terms of the pressure and the torque, you know, that he's putting on his joints and his ligaments. It's just disappointing, to be honest with you, as a fan of the game, that, you know, we're going to be robbed of that for at least a month and a half or so. And quite frankly, I'll be worried about it until at least, you know, we see him come in at maybe, you know, 250, 260 as opposed to 275, 280.
Let's move on to the Lakers and Clippers tonight. And again, I mentioned LeBron James, who did have an injury plague season last year in L.A. I think the vibe going into last season was it was almost house money at that point in time. It was house money the first year for LeBron in L.A. That's not the case this season. And Jabari, I've seen a different LeBron James this offseason. I saw a different LeBron James in preseason. I've seen a different LeBron James with the media over the LeBron that we have seen over the last 6 or 7 years. And I have told people this all offseason. You are foolish if you honestly believe that this man is not a top three player in the NBA. One of the things that will drive LeBron James this year is the fact that he has something to prove. How long has it been since LeBron James had something to prove? You mix that with Anthony Davis, and I'll tell you what, I think Showtime's back in L.A., and I think the Lakers, we know it's championship or bust, but look, it's realistic this year, Jabari. I personally don't see anybody beating this team just based off of simple tactics, such as the way LeBron has looked over the past month, month and a half from what we've been able to see.
Yeah, I'm right there with you in terms of, you know, the expectations for LeBron as well as for these Lakers. I look at it like this. If DeMarcus Cousins were there, and, you know, like, and they were at least at relatively full strength with Kuzma being in the mix, I would be right there with you saying, like, yeah, this is a, you know, this is the squad. Matter of fact, size them up. At the very least, I'll say this. They are a contender. They, you know, like, and quite frankly, after missing the playoffs for, what, 7 consecutive years, if I'm not mistaken, to be able to say, like, they're a contender, you've already done some damage. Don't let this team pick up a guy like Andre Iguodala midseason or at whatever point, you know, the Raptors, you know, not the Raptors, excuse me, the
Grizzlies.
Memphis Grizzlies decide to, you know, decide to part ways with him, however it ends up being. Don't let that take place, because I'll tell you right now, you don't want to give the Lakers that, you know, you don't want to give the Lakers a guy like, you know, that has what Iggy still has left in the tank, even though it could be his final year. Even as, you know, as is, the only real question that I have is at the point guard position. Beyond that, they don't really have a lot of holes or a whole lot of question marks. They've gone out, they've done, you know, they've done the due diligence in the offseason. They've gone out and gotten shooters. They've gone out and gotten other guys that can also play make beyond having LeBron. And quite frankly, as you alluded to, with LeBron James being, you know, probably only the second or third time in his career, like as a rookie, of course, you've got stuff to prove. And in that first year, first and second year in Miami, you've got stuff to prove. But probably only the probably like second or third time, you know, in his career, he's got is the answer. And this is an all-time great, regardless of whether you rank him as your top guy or your third guy or your fifth guy or whatever. This is an all-time great. So you combine an all-time great with all of the motivation in the world with a guy that has all-world skills in Anthony Davis that's just 26 years old, and you put the appropriate pieces around him, there's no reason in the world for Lakers fans to not be, you know, very optimistic this year for the first time, like I said, in like 6-7 years.
Let's move over to the Clippers, the other team we'll see tonight. No Paul George, but that doesn't matter, right? Kawhi Leonard was a guy they wanted. I know in order to get Kawhi, they needed to get Paul George. I get that. But you get the sense anytime Kawhi Leonard is on the court, you're going to have a chance to win basketball games. Bigger offseason, Lakers or Clippers in your mind? Who had the better offseason?
It's tough because I don't want to come across as biased. So you know what? You know, for that reason alone, I'm going to say the Clippers. Look, you can't sneeze at the fact that Paul George, regardless of what anyone thinks of him, he was a legitimate both MVP and Defensive Player of the Year candidate last year prior to his shoulders basically just saying that's enough. You know what I mean? You know, prior to that last, you know, say 6 weeks of the season, he was absolutely in the conversation for both of those awards. So you bring him in alongside the reigning finals MVP. And quite frankly, I don't know how anyone can sneeze at that. The you know, like I know Jerry West gets a lot of the credit, which I'm sure he deserves, you know, plenty along the way. But Lawrence Frank and that entire front office, they absolutely are in the running for executive of the year award. And, you know, honestly, outside of David Griffin, I don't know anybody right now. Now that this is, you know, get granted right now because we haven't seen what's going to take place over the course of the season or at the deadline. I don't see anybody that, you know, that would be truly in the conversation above them. They were absolutely fantastic. So, okay, I'll go with the Clippers. But look, I'm not laughing at what the Lakers have done. They've done a phenomenal job as well.
Again, tonight, we have 4 teams, 2 games, Pelicans, Raptors, Lakers, Clippers, Jabari Davis, again, our guest. Jabari, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. Before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Oh, man, again, you know, like I said, like it's truly an honor to come on here with you, man, regardless of how many times we've done it, regardless of how long we've known each other. I truly appreciate the opportunity to talk basketball with you. That said, find me on Twitter, at Jabari Davis NBA. As Jordan mentioned at the top, I co-host the Hot Takes and Shot Fakes podcast alongside my guy Josh Eberle. And you know, you can find some of my material on Hoops Mag, in the print as well as the digital version, as well as on NBA.com at times when they're feeling, I guess, kind.
Great stuff as always, Jabari Davis. A pleasure. Hopefully, we'll talk again real soon.
I look forward to it, my man. Got to.
Fantastic. We got a break for just a moment. We'll come back and put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports when we return right after this.
Hey, let's get back to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on 750 AM KOAL.
We're back to close out this Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Fun show. I want to give a thank you to Bill Lasky and also Jabari Davis for taking out the time to join us on the show today. A lot of fun to talk Major League Baseball and NBA basketball. Tomorrow, well, we'll talk more baseball, but of course we'll save a couple of segments to talk NFL as we'll be gearing up for Week 8. We're going to that midway point of the NFL season. Can you believe how fast this year is going by? Thursday Night Football returns here on KOAL. We get the Vikings and the Redskins. That contest will begin at 6:20. Live coverage will begin at 6 right here on Thursday. So we'll talk about that, get you a primer for Week 8. Don't forget, you can check out CastleCountryRadio.com for more up-to-date news and sports here in the local area. For everyone that has taken out the time to join us today, again, Bill Lasky and Jabari Davis, and of course, Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. I am out.